Amen. Okay, well, it's down to me today. Now, I'm going to have to rely on the person to put the media up. But the title of my sort of message today is Love Came Down. Love Came Down. And I want to show you next, on the next slide, please, what actually are the verses that I'm going to speak from. I hope you can see those. If not, I'm going to read them to you. It's from 1 John 4 and verses 9 to 15. This is how God showed his love for us. He sent his only son. Now, you notice there, if you're clever this morning, there are some words in capitals. Can you see those? Who noticed those already? Praise God, that's good. I'm encouraged. He sent his only son into the world to give us life through him. True love is God's love for us, not our love for God. He sent his son as the way to take away our sins. This is how much God loves us, dear friends. So we also must love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us. If we love each other, God's love has reached its goal. It is made perfect in us. We know that we live in God and God lives in us. We know this because he gave us his Spirit. We have seen that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. And this is what we tell people now. Anyone who says, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, is a person who lives in God and God lives in that person. I almost don't need to say any more, do I? That is so clear and explanatory that John is trying to get the message over to the people of his day. Thankfully, it's recorded. So, next one, please. What we find is this, that John says to us very simply, what is a gift without love? What is a gift without love? I always like that little story about the vicar who received his Christmas card and a little parcel of nuts from the old lady he regularly visited in her home. He opened the nuts and ate them and then finally opened the card. And in the card it said, Dear Vicar, thank you for visiting me all through the year. I love chocolate nuts, but I've got no teeth now, so I've just sucked the chocolate off. But I thought you might like the nuts. There wasn't much love in that, was there? This is a true story I'm going to tell you now. When we were about 7 or 8 years old, every Christmas Eve, we used to meet up at my grandfather's, and my auntie and uncle, who are now with the Lord, used to come up from Kent, and us who were local all used to meet at my granddad's for a Christmas Eve kind of get-together. And we actually had Fanta Pop in a glass bottle. Anybody remember that? You're older than me. And we used to have, and then after we'd had something to eat, our little tradition was, at my instigation, I have to say, because I was quite entrepreneurial, even at the age of 8, that we would go carol singing round the yard and up and down the street and hopefully get a pocket full of cash. Now, when I say a pocket full of cash, these days that wouldn't mean much to the younger people here, because sometimes you got a penny and sometimes you got a threepenny bit and sometimes you got sixpence. And if you ever got a shilling, oh my word, it was like you'd hit the lottery, you know. But we used to do this every Christmas, and then when we got back, we used to share it out between my cousin Peter and my cousin Elaine. And we would share out the spoils of our carol singing. But there was one year that actually had a deep impact on us. Because we got to the door, and I was all a bit sort of wanting to get us organized in our right position. So Elaine was always in the middle, because that's the lady's voice. and me and Pete was Welsh, so he had a better voice than me. And then I was this side, and we would get and choose each what carol we were going to sing before we started. And there we were getting all ready, okay? And suddenly we heard this noise from inside the house. And it went something like this. Well, I hope you're going to face her tomorrow morning when she wakes up and you've bought her nothing. Wow. We looked at each other. I told you not to go down to that betting office. Now you've lost the... And there was a few other words in there which I won't mention. Oh, what we're going to do, what we're going to do. Well, haven't you got something you can just wrap up? And we stood there. And we heard all this. Later, my cousin Pete says, perhaps a relevant song would have been Ding Dong, Merrily on High. Because that seemed to be what they were having, a ding dong. But you know, we realized the difference between receiving gifts that are given with love. Yeah? And when we're looking at this subject this morning, just at our Christmas Eve service, what is love without, what is a gift without love? What does John say? This is how God showed his love to us. You know, there could have been 1,000 ways in which God tried to reveal himself to us. I mean, he's all powerful. He can do anything. But the thing that he thought we needed the most was to come himself. Yeah? I used to watch some of those Cilla Black programs where people hadn't seen their family for years. Anybody else used to watch them? You know, and then they would say, and so we've got your sister right here from Perth. Yeah, she's on the screen. You can talk to her. And then what would she say? Oh, hello. And they'd get all emotional. And then Cilla would go, but even better. And she would walk through the door. And you see, friends, somebody in person is so much more easy to feel the love, isn't it? It's nice on a screen. Skype's okay. But you can't really grab hold of them. And you know, that's exactly what God did when he came himself. He said, I want to be one of you. I created you. I made you. I know how you tick. I know what needs adjusting and changing in your lives, because our world has gone adrift because of sin. God showed his love. The Father sent his Son. That word sent there means simply this. He came on a specific mission. Yeah? That's actually what Jesus came for. A specific mission. So, you know, God is wanting us to ask almost every Christmas when we go through this wonderful celebration, who is the sender and why? I don't know about you, if I get a present from somebody, I usually want to know who to say thank you to. Yeah, who sent you this? Do you know something? If you've got children tomorrow morning and they're all opening the presents at the same time, one of the things parents learn to do is be careful. Make sure you know who all the presents came from. Because when somebody asks you, did you get that? Oh, it was you. Yeah? Oh, yes, we did get it, but it got all mixed up. Yeah? All mixed up in the parcels. But thank you. We now know who sent it. But you know, verse 14 tells us this. We have seen that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. When God sent Jesus, he sent him on a mission, and he had me and you in mind. You see, he knew what I needed. Now, I'm going to, before I went to Brazil, you may or may not have noticed, but my belt noticed, I lost 20 pounds in weight. I put two pounds on in Brazil again, because the beef's good. But listen, sometimes people buy you gifts that's good for you. Not always what you think you want. Yeah? So when my wife one year, you know, bought me the Slimming World magazine, and I was hoping for a large spiral pyramid-shaped box of Ferrero Rochers, I wasn't sure that the gift was what I wanted. But you know something? What I needed wasn't really essential. But God knows exactly what you need. Isn't that amazing? God knows exactly what you need. He said, what do I need? What do I need? He said, well, first of all, I have to send my son into this world to get rid of sin. What are you saying? What are you saying now? No. I have to send him into the world because we've all sinned. And that's why he comes to be a savior. A savior. And it's not cheap. It comes at a costly price. I don't know if you read today. I read it the other week. This wonderful quotation by Max Lucado in the UCB magazine, but he's a great writer, and he speaks about the love of God at Christmas, and he said these words: stepping from the throne, he removed his robe of light and wrapped himself in skin. The light of the universe entered a dark womb. He whom angels worshipped nestled himself in the placenta of a peasant woman, was birthed into a cold night, and then slept on cow's hay. Mary didn't know whether to give him milk or give him praise, so she gave him both. Since he was as near as she could figure, hungry and holy. Joseph didn't know whether to call him junior or father. But in the end, he called him Jesus, since that's what the angels said. And since he didn't have the faintest idea what to name God, he could cradle him in his arms. I wonder if they looked at each other, Mary and Joseph, with their tilted heads, and their minds wondered, what in the world are you doing, God? Or better, God, what are you doing in the world? That's what God wants us to see. That he came himself at such a costly price. And sometimes we don't want to perhaps face that fact that his love wants to fill us. His love wants to change us. This verse in Romans chapter 8 and verse 3. I'll just read part of it. He sent his own son to earth with the same human life that everyone else uses, but is sinful. God sent him to be an offering to pay for sin. God used a human life to destroy sin. That's why God's love doesn't end at the crib. It ends at the cross. It ends where God's love is so greatly manifest that all our sins are placed on him. A costly price. But what does it do? What does this love do? Well, we read here, it's sent with a guarantee. I love this verse. Verse 13 says, we know that we live in God and God lives in us. We know this because he gave us his Spirit. The Bible tells us this, that when we actually come into a relationship with God, what we feel is his love. What we realize is that he has power to change us, to forgive us our sins. And then he doesn't just want that to be a temporary experience. He then, the Bible says, pours his love into our hearts. See, we can talk in generalities about the Christian world or Christendom, but you know, I know when a person's a Christian because the love of God is inside of them by the Holy Spirit. That's quite simple, really, isn't it? So when you're with people who know God's love has touched them, you will begin to feel that love coming through their life. We live in a world that's full of the opposite, don't we? I sat in the front of the TV this week, and I honest with you, I can't watch children in Yemen starving. I said, oh God, I have to go out. Because I see man's hate, man's evil. But love came down at Christmas. See, what God says I need in my life is his love. What God says we need in our family is his love. What God wants to bring into that husband and wife relationship is his love. What God wants to bring to help that single mom with her children is his love. What God wants to bring to that couple who are now facing the end of life is the fact that there's an assurance that there's his love and his life after this life. That's love come down that affects us now and changes us forever. I'm glad my wife never knew me before I came to know that love. And it's a guarantee, you know. People say, well, becoming a Christian, you've got to go to church. You've missed the whole thing. Love comes in and changes you. And you know that your sin is forgiven. When love comes down, it comes with a promise. Listen to these promises. He sent his Son, only Son, into the world to give us life through him. See, I thought I was alive until I came to know Jesus. And I came to know his love. And verse 15 says, anyone who says, wow, that's a big challenge, isn't it? Anyone who says, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, is a person who lives in God and God lives in that person. Wow, what a gift. What a gift. You know, one of the very famous verses of John's Gospel is John 3:16. I read it recently in a modern translation and I loved it so much. It says this, for God so loved the world that he gifted his Son. I think it's on the next screen. There you go. He gifted his Son to the world so that whoever takes hold of this gift and opens it receives life in relationship with him now and forevermore. Isn't that fantastic? See, that's, so it's not like, well, I've been brought up a Christian. No, I went to the church or whatever. We watched a program last night about some guys from Liverpool putting lights on in Bethlehem. And they were doing all this really religious stuff. But you know what? You could tell by their lives they didn't really know him. That's what makes Christmas so wonderful to a Christian. Is that it's not just an annual festival celebration that Christ came. It's that, no, actually, Christ came, his love came to me, into my life. So as the Gospel of Luke says on the next screen, today is born to you in the town of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. An American poet on the next slide says this: love came down at Christmas, love all lovely, love divine. Love was born at Christmas, star and angels gave the sign. There is something to experience at Christmas. And all the kids are anticipating tonight and tomorrow. But I want to tell you, there's many of us here who one day in our life, Christmas or not, experienced God coming down and transforming our lives. And he's still doing it. And he can do it for you today. So our response must be, as the next slide says, love came down. Don't return it to sender. How many people are old enough to remember that rock and roll song? Return to sender. Just as an aside, I watched something about a U2 concert the other day and thought, I'm glad I missed the 80s. But then you go. But that song, Return to Sender, was about somebody trying to share their love with somebody, but continually they refused it. What we might call unrequited love, not wanted love. But I just can't understand why a person would not want to receive God's love. I cannot think of one thing in my life since Jesus Christ came into my life and transformed me by his love that's not made my life 100 times better. So, he wants you to know that. There's no love like this for you, for our sin, for us to feel his love within. But we have to receive the gift. See, the word in the Greek language for receive means to take hold of. So when my wife comes tomorrow with my iPhone 10, Martin got a new iPad the other day. He had to just put it over his eye like that. But the truth is, when we receive a gift, it doesn't become ours until we take it. Yeah? Whatever it is. And it won't be an iPhone 10. And I'm not bothered. Whatever it is, I know it'll be given in love. And this gift is the love of God for you. And I end with these words. In the story of the Nativity, someone looking at the fact that there was no room for Jesus in the inn said these words: each of us is an innkeeper who has to decide if there's room for Jesus. If I will let him in. If I will let his love transform me. If I will acknowledge that God showed this love to me and to you in the greatest way he possibly could. But I've got to take it. I've got to invite him in. I've got to say, please, Jesus, come and do your work in my life. Shall we pray? Many years ago in our Swaffham church, we had a lady who came to our carol service and received the Lord Jesus and received his love into her life. Do you know, every Christmas she wanted to get up and tell people that it was at Christmas she'd found God's greatest gift. You can find it right now. See, God is here. His Holy Spirit is here. And right now, as an individual, we can just invite Jesus Christ, invite his love into our lives personally today. I know I've done that, and I am so grateful. But if you've never done that, I would just love to pray for you that God's love will come as his gift into your life this Christmas. If you'd like me to pray for you right now, just raise your hand in that indication. I'm receiving that gift today, Paul. I'm receiving that gift. Is there anyone who wants to receive that gift today? Okay, God bless you. Anyone else? Just receive the gift of Jesus and God's love. Anyone else? Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for the reality and the meaning of Christmas to our lives. Dates and times and all the details are not important. What is important is that you sent your Son to a point in history to change humanity. And we thank you today that you are still doing that. I pray for everyone truly today to have a happy and blessed Christmas because they've received the love that came down in Jesus Christ. Amen.